Who the hell is Adar?
How did Galadriel get out of jail so easily?
Why is Theo so crap at hiding?
All these questions and more will be answered in episode 4 of The Mouth of Sauron podcast. Okay, hello and welcome to yet another episode of The Mouth of Sauron podcast. We are back again, fellas. My name is Cal. I'm here with Ash. Say hello, Ash.
Hi, Ash.
I'm here with Jimmy. Say hello, Jim.
How you doing, everyone?
And I'm here with Mike. Say hello, Mike.
Hello.
All right. Good to be back, fellas. So we're going to have a little look at episode 4 of The Rings of Power and give our hot take and that kind of thing. And yeah, just get stuck into it, I think. And I always kick things off by just giving everyone an opportunity to give me a sentence. What did we think? I'll start with you, Mike. In one sentence, episode 4, what are you going to say?
Good, but not really feeling Numenor at the moment.
Okay. Okay, fine. Jim?
Slightly empty storylines.
Okay. Ash?
Where are the Harfoots?
Yeah,
of course. Yeah, no Harfoots this time. No Harfoots, no stranger. Yeah, missed him. Okay. Well, look, that's interesting because if I were to give myself a sentence, I would say my favorite episode so far. So yeah. We got some, you know, we got some disagreement already amongst us, but I'm sure we'll get into it. Yeah, and we can fight our corners. So look, let's kick things off. Mike, why don't you take us through where you want to start?
Okay, so we open the episode and it is Tarmiriel and she's having, well, it's a vision, it turns out to be, which is awesome effects of Numenor getting crashed in by the episode's name, A Great Wave. But I think that looked fantastic. Yeah. Really looked. And then she kind of wakes up and it's all a dream. But it's, she's got the vision, she can do that, it seems, then. She can foresee the future.
Mm.
Did everyone know that was a vision, or were you thinking, oh, they're right into it here?
oh, they're skipping
right. For a second,
right.
I thought they just, yeah, for a second, I thought they just got there. I weren't surprised.
But. No, I thought it was a vision. I was pretty sure it was a vision straight away. Yeah. I think that would be too big a thing to do that.
Yeah.
Well, it was definitely and quite obviously foreshadowing what anyone with any knowledge of Tolkien and Numenor knows is coming. I mean, they were pretty outright about it, weren't they? They were they themselves were sort of being quite meta about it and like, no, this is gonna happen.
Yeah.
Interestingly though, I only learned this during the week. Apparently, Tolkien himself had a recurring nightmare of a great wave. Like a massive wave, always like
not like that. That's cool.
Hitting him, yeah, like or hitting the town he lived in, which is
yeah, it's not cool for him, but it's cool, cool story.
Yeah,
he lived in constant fear of sleep his life.
Yeah. I don't know where he lived. Like if he lived somewhere right in the middle of England, it's like, well, just chill.
I think he was Oxford, wasn't he? It was Oxford kind of way, was he?
Is Oxford anywhere near any water?
The lake.
Dreadful.
There's a lot of lakes around there, isn't there?
Is there? It's quite lakey.
I think, isn't it in the... No, I was going to say, no, it's not.
We should find out, but yeah. But yeah, I just...
you were going to say it was in the Lake District.
Way off.
Hundreds of miles away from the Lake District.
Yeah.
It's near one of them places, though.
Yeah, I don't think he had anything to be scared about in reality, but I just thought it was quite cool that, you know, it was a recurring dream that he then built into his own, you know, his own universe that he created.
Well, moving on. So she gets over from that. And then we've got Farazon kind of going through the town and then getting to know people, shaking people's hands like the good old fashioned. Well, then handshakes. And then he has that guy, the terrible haircut that gets beaten up by Halbrand. He's having like a hate speech in the courtyard.
Mm.
And then Farazon comes and kind of takes over his speech. And then gives his home speech.
Yeah, it was our first real proper look at Farazón, really, wasn't it? I mean, I know we saw him in a previous episode, but it was the first bit of like chunky scene that we got of him. Yeah, you're right, Mike. Those I've only just clocked it, but those handshakes that are like the further up someone's arm you go.
Yeah.
You basically end up tickling someone's armpit. It's like,
any fantasy setting, anything like that, right? It doesn't matter. Like, they just don't shake hands like us. Right? That's just like, no. Well, they'd watch our like documentaries and go, that's weird. They're actually touching.
Yeah. I think it's to see if they've got anything up their sleeve, maybe. No knives concealed up their sleeve. But that's just my theory. It's a good one.
Always gonna like look out for him. Yeah. This scene was.
What did you think of the speech?
Well, it was the whole kind of the guy, like you say, the guy with the rubbish haircut was saying, "Who's gonna fight for us?" kind of thing.
Hmm.
Which I think is obviously again foreshadowing what will become the faithful versus the Kingsmen or the Black Numenoreans as they'll become.
Hmm. Yeah.
So
right, it's very I don't know, I think for a speech that big to introduce our Farazón for, I thought it was pretty lousy writing. I thought it was like, by these hands, I swear, and it wasn't no substance to it. And he got a big cheer, and then it was like, get everyone a drink.
I thought that was so dumb. A drink on me, everyone.
The bit I didn't specifically like about it is that's the second time in as many episodes someone's brought everybody a drink. Was it in the last episode how Brand did it at the bar as well?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, like,
just generous guys, man.
Well, yeah. Like, what's going on, and how are all these people so easily swayed just by a free beer?
Yeah.
I quite like
Farazón because he has to develop, and I don't want to keep saying that every character has to be given the time to develop. All right, but I do feel like I'm looking at him, and when I look at him, I think there's something about the way that you act and you move that there is like this sneakiness about you. And although the speech, look, it may not have been like 100%, I certainly believe what they're doing with the character, exactly where they're positioning him.
Getting everyone a drink, although I agree, Jim, like just dreadful. What it's doing is it's showing his politicking, you know, his politicizing, the way that he can, you know, he literally like knows the taste of what people want, you know.
Mm.
So I don't know. It was.
I think for me, it's like this is the kind of area of the show where we can kind of put up against Game of Thrones or something, and like this politicking side of it, this betrayal-y side of it. And it's not getting to anywhere near that level for me of writing or kind of that feel of intrigue in the politics. It all seems a bit route one.
The only thing I would say is that it wasn't, unless I'm wrong, it wasn't like to the whole island. They were in the guild. All of those people were craftsmen. All of those people were a bit like, so...
Right.
I don't know. That doesn't change much, but it is like just you could tell why all those people were sort of like-minded in a way.
Yeah.
But
right.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. Well, moving on then, we get Isildur on his boat, and he hears a whisper from the west of the island, I'm guessing, kind of beckoning him over there, and purposely it looks like just throws his chance of getting on that boat away. And screws his friends over as well. So, well, I don't really, there's not really much to say about that. That basically says it all.
Well, I don't know. There's two things I took from this. I think firstly, there's a whisper, isn't there, that he's hearing, which is a throw forward to the Lord of the Rings when there's a whisper, is he under, you know, all that. But I think the other thing is it's really, really subtle, but it's already showing his the fact that he can be selfish, you know. He didn't give two shits about like those other guys potentially losing their place, and we know that level of selfishness that he will have eventually will be him taking the ring for himself, not throwing it away. So it's really tiny and subtle. And I don't know if it was even intentional. I'd like to think it was. Yeah. But it is showing that he has that in him, you know, that
yeah.
I'm thinking about myself.
I think with like this sort of completely unknown character, like trying to build up where he might get his conflict from is really important. And I think that's kind of just what they're doing with this, aren't they? They're just saying, like, here's a mistake that he made. He kind of didn't really want to be on the boat. Maybe he's following a father's legacy he wasn't really involved in, and he's let the rope go. He's got kicked out. And then you're suddenly like, now we've witnessed and we can see something that he'll feel guilt for and maybe might inspire the reasons for further on down the line when, you know, he goes on and does everything that we know will come within his character.
Yeah, that's kind of... I gave that scene the benefit of the doubt in that regard, I think.
I got the impression that it was almost not him letting go of the rope. It's like he'd been sort of possessed almost.
Yeah.
By this sort of, yeah.
Like a siren called beckoning him over to the... But, so we'll continue with this kind of scene because he does meet up with his friends and they kind of throw a hissy fit at him and call him selfish and say he didn't earn his right to be there in the first place and he's going to be just like his brother. He's gone off and done something. We've had mention of Inarion, but haven't seen him. I'm guessing he's going to be safe for series two now. What do we presume he's doing?
Well, he's in the West, isn't he? He's in the West of Numenor. Yeah. Isn't that what's being said?
I think so.
Which is interesting because obviously anyone that's going west, we know ultimately is doomed. It's the people that go east to Middle Earth that are the ones that...
But I think the West is the faithful. That's where the faithful live.
Oh, is it? Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, that side of the island is the faithful side. So he's obviously knee-deep in faith. And Isildur's been beckoned there too.
Yeah, so that's where... Oh, that's right, because they said that they still speak Quenya over there. They've got a relationship with... Yeah. Well, I guess he's over there then, isn't he? And maybe, as you say, we'll see him in a later series.
Yeah, funny enough, I found out of the thinking. So I was like, right, so Miriel's dad is Tar Palantir, who was, I think, changed his name to Quenya. So he was ultra faithful as well. And that's why he got kind of...
Yeah.
But they haven't really gone into that, so I might be spoiling it. But we do get a glimpse of him today when Galadriel sees him, but that's moving a bit forward. So we move on then from Isildur to Arendir, and we meet Adar.
I think I said really early on when we were talking about the series coming out, and we didn't quite have the character name yet, but we had like there was the images and stuff. I didn't think we had the name. I have a fear of unnecessary baddies in Lord of the Rings, and I saw him and I was like, I think he looks kind of like weird and scary. Which is like hard to do in amongst like orcs who are terrifying. Like they just are. But I wasn't as disappointed as I thought I was going to be in a baddie. I was like, okay, like I can see you're, I get it. Like you're kind of scary. You're like Sauron still exists. So like, yeah, I'm still on the fence with him because he's just sort of been almost bad guy staring off into space at the moment until we really see, I don't know.
I'm fully on board with Adar. I think he's really cool. I really like that kind of brooding, evil, mysterious baddie. But I also did like He-Man Master of the Universe growing up, the live action version, so I have cheap taste.
He's an elf, right? Like a corrupted elf.
I think so. I think that's what we're led to believe. We're like half orc, half elf kind of guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he said he was from Beleriand, didn't he? Or at least he was in Beleriand.
Yeah. So we know he's old.
Yeah, we know he's old, and we know there was lots of elves in Beleriand. He is that. I want to give a shout out to our friend Tom, who's a big fan of the podcast, who he picked out that this scene for any movie lovers is very Apocalypse Now. Massive parallels there with Kurtz, who's played by Marlon Brando, obviously, and the way he was saying, like, oh, I journeyed down that river once, and not only that, but the fact that he's now got like this army of devotees that he's managed to convince behind him. It was very, very Apocalypse Now, which I enjoyed.
Yeah, I never thought about that, but yeah,
it's quite well done. Yeah,
you're gonna say it's a homage rather than a stealing.
Homage, yeah. Which the minute he pointed that out, I was like, that's cool. I mean, I'm a big fan of that anyway, but I think that's probably where they're going with that, aren't they? And they call him Father Adar, I think, is father in black speech. So, the moment he mentioned that, it sort of amplified that scene for me.
It was the context as well, where he was introduced. It was like they were almost grieving for this dying orc.
Well, there was a little bit of orc culture there in a way, wasn't there?
It shocked me because I wouldn't have thought they're meant to be such the opposite to our sort of like moral base.
Yeah,
I wouldn't have thought they would care about anything or anyone. So that was quite telling as to, you know, they love each other.
I don't think they gave the impression that the orcs care about other orcs. I think they care about Adar and Adar cares about them and is calling him father. So
yeah,
I think, and that fear, that line about him not becoming a god yet and he's looking for that weapon. Do we think that he's kind of doing what a Saruman was doing, in terms of aligning himself with Sauron, but ultimately trying to seek the ring out for himself to be more powerful than Sauron? Do you think like he might be kind of going, if I get my hands on this weapon, I already control quite a lot of orcs, I can take fucking Sauron on myself and become the Dark Lord myself.
He looked pretty ambitious, yeah. He did, yeah.
Which would be a good kind of take, I think.
Yeah, it would be. Yeah. It was pretty simple in terms of the way it's scripted as well. Like, all that Arondir was saying was essentially questions we were asking. He was like, why do they call you father? What are you doing? Where are you from?
Didn't answer a single one.
Where did you come from or whatever? Like, that's basic stuff, isn't it? But that is all the stuff we want to know. And he didn't answer any of it, but I guess we'll find it all out. But yeah, I like it.
I saw a bit too much heat about this scene on the internet, like from like, you know, this, the mega critics that are out there.
Yeah.
And like, I even had a friend of mine say, "Oh, a bit ridiculous out at the end. He just let him go." And I'm just putting my foot down on these other criticisms of the show now, because we can't start criticizing just actual necessary bits of writing in order for a story to exist. Like, we can start criticizing another bit. So that, it's like, oh, we just let him go at the end. And I was like, well, he had a purpose to let him go. And also, otherwise, it's just a one long continuous that he kills him, he kills him, he kills. Like, there's no story.
Yeah.
So like, I saw that, a bit of that. And I just, that really got me going.
Yeah. Well, that jumps nicely because he did set him free for the purpose of sending a message, which is like a tried and true thing for every bad guy to do, is to send one person free. I'm surprised he didn't set two free and kill one of them on the way out and say, it only takes one person to send a message, mate. But so we come to Theo and his friend that is definitely going to die going into the town. And
one of these days.
For that guy's death. They go into the town and try and get food and resources for the Southlanders.
Yeah, that's right. What's his name?
I don't know the boy. I think it's something like, I don't know. I'm not even going to get, like, Bolt.
Is that where? Is that when Theo goes house, like, they're going house to house looking for bits and bobs to eat, right?
That's
the
bit, yeah.
So reminder meal of The Walking Dead. So many of them, like, creeping into a house that's blatantly infested by orcs or zombies.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, that bit was The Walking Dead, but the bit just before when they all filed into the watchtower was very Helm's Deep, I thought.
Yeah.
It's got that same vibe, isn't it? And they're clearly just trying to do little throwbacks here and there to, like, you know, just keep the hardcores on side.
Well, we could be getting full on Helm's Deep, because we know that Galadriel, Halbrand, all that are coming to the south. We've seen they're on horseback. And we know that orcs are going to be invaded in that fortress. So we could be getting exactly Helm's Deep.
Yeah. I think it probably will be.
It'd be a good move. Like, so it was a great like bit of, it is a great bit of Lord of the Rings. And like, why not? Like, I want to see it. Now I do know, I hadn't even thought that maybe the battle was actually going to happen there. But 100% I'm up for a castle invasion. To go back to that scene of them walking through, I thought that was so brilliant. Like, it was so tense. And I really liked, like, it was quite dark as well. I did actually try to watch in the daytime and I almost couldn't see anything. But it was... But when I watched it at night, I was like, oh, this, like, I'm really drawn into, like, their sense of fear here. And I quite liked all the little chase scene where he ends up in the well and all that. I thought it was wicked. Yeah. And I really liked how they'd broken down the village and made it, like, this now, orc territory now. There's, like, little fire over here and we just ripped doors off and everything's broken. Really liked it.
Although I
don't understand why they're just mutilating animals and not eating them. What are the orcs eating? Yeah.
Just leaving dead. They've got no manners. That's why. They can't share either. So one's got a leg, the other's got the ear.
Theo, by the way, worst hider ever. Second time now.
He's
first time he hid, tiny shit little cupboard. Like, no. Second time. That well, straight away.
I just feel like if you was that orc checking that well, you'd just be like, let me just stay here for an extra 30 seconds. He might have just gone underwater.
He's definitely down to it. That guy is definitely, like, I'm surprised he didn't have like a reed, like a straw.
He had
him. Like, he'd cut him, he'd go out the door, like, just go. I don't know why he decided to jump in a well. Like, just go.
Well, I think the cows covered the sun, so I think that's why the other boy. I don't know. It was terrible hiding, you're right.
Rowan, by the way, I think the other boy's name is.
Rowan, okay.
I just looked it up.
It's kind of close with Bolt, I feel. Okay, so he gets saved by Aaron Deere.
Yeah, can I just mention though, when he defended himself with the hilts, didn't he, as they're calling him, which I thought was skipping forward a bit, because the old guy challenges him at the end of the episode, doesn't he, on I know you've stolen it from me, took it from my bum.
Walgren, I think his name is, I wrote it down.
Yeah, and he even showed him that he's got the same mark. I think it was kind of saying, like, because it's activated, whatever the word is, by blood, isn't it? That's what makes it kind of...
So, I'm guessing so. But it looked like he dug it into that chisel on his arm.
Yeah. But I think it's similar in the way to, like, you know how the ring, the One Ring, is bound to a life source. And, like... As long as someone still believes, as long as someone still has it, as long as it endures, it will always be there. It's like this hilt thing could have just been destroyed ages ago, but someone's been keeping it around.
Yeah. Like,
whoever has made it, if it was Sauron or Morgoth, whoever, it's kind of like a prototype almost of binding your life force to an object, and it will always endure unless someone does destroy it.
Like
this thing could have been destroyed centuries, years Christmas. ago, but that because they've kept it around, evil is still there. I just thought that was quite a cool point as well.
Well, I think I'm semi certain now that most of the Southlanders are genuinely just going to side with the orcs when they get there.
Maybe. I don't know why this is. This is me being really annoying, but why do the Southlanders have the most northern accents?
I know, yeah.
Really bugs me.
Yeah, because the orcs have to be the southerners, so.
Yeah, I guess they do, yeah.
okay, so he gets out, he meets Aaron Deere, some good chase scenes, and then Aaron Deere goes back to the village. This is kind of right at the end, but we'll just leave it in the spit. He goes back to the village and says to Bronwyn, look, they're coming, you either join them and forsake these little... give them your lands and join them, or we're going to slaughter you. So I think next episode we're going to see a lot of him turning coat, going over that side of it. But that's for next week. And then we get to Celebrimbor and Elrond, and we see the forge is getting built. That happened fast.
Very fast.
Can't get my head around the time scale there, but I'm just gonna
you're meant to ask questions. I think you're just meant to go in your head. Dwarves are super, super speedy at building things.
Yeah, that is it, isn't it? It's just like, they put that up in a day. Great bit of Lord of the Rings engineering going on there. Like they've got some good cranes, and that's like, this is all cool. This is how they build this shit. You know, right? Great, yeah, like that.
That was one of the ultimate bits of time compression, wasn't it? Like, in fact, I think Celebrimbor even said in like episode two, like, that would take 6 months. Okay.
I don't see how much it would hurt for them to just say or give some inkling of about it's been 6 months now.
Yeah.
I think they could do that quite easily.
I think they don't want to pin any time down because then it affects what you're seeing elsewhere.
That's what I want to say, Jim. Are the storylines in the same timeline frame? Is what's happening on Numenor moving at the same pace as what's happening on
I'm going to say yes, because they haven't given us any indication that it's not.
Yeah. That for me is a bit like so that would mean that they did the building. I don't think they are. I think everybody's moving at a different pace, because that would mean they built the that tower in about 4 days, which is like,
why?
How long was Galadriel in prison for?
Yeah, well, all it would have taken in that scene was like Celebrimbor looking out the window and gone, wow, it's only been 3 months and look how quickly the dwarves have done that. Like, that could have happened. Just that one line would have saved that scene. Or something.
He said earlier on in the previous episode, I need it built by the spring.
Yeah.
Oh, that's it, yeah.
But we don't know when, like, there wasn't snow.
We don't know, it could have just finished spring, just when he said. So then Elrond goes to Disa, looking for Durin. She's lying about where he is. Then he kind of figures out that she's lying, and then goes down and finds him in the old mine. He uses some like elf good eyesight to read his lips when they're talking. Finds out where he's going.
Good old fashioned elf lip reading.
Yeah, well, I like that, because it looks like elves are actually using some of the powers they have for doing stuff with, rather than Galadriel just being moody all the time.
Yeah.
But so I think that's a lovely... I like Durin and Elrond. I like everything in Moria and Khazad-dûm. I like Disa. I like that whole... I like that. I like what's going on there.
Yeah.
Yeah, good scenes in the way that they're sort of like broaching their relationship and like throwing back to conversations they'd had before. I really like the way that is actually developing, and like, how Elrond is like being like, no, I'm learning about how I should be more not elf and how to have conversations with you.
Yeah.
But at the same time, clearly still like playing him a little bit because of the conversation we have in Celebrimbor. And that's just like, yeah, like I kind of like there's a little bit more like they clearly are genuine friends, but there's a bit of deceit going on and how that could all unravel when it actually needs to. Like, I really like that. Are we allowed to talk about the Disa singing scene yet?
Yeah, we can go on to that, yeah. Because it all kind of, great. Let's go.
Because that was absolutely sick.
I like that.
It was incredible. Like, do you know what? It was so good that I was sitting there, like, watching it, and then it was over.
You cried.
I was like, almost here, hold down. I was just, like, blown away by it to a point where I was like, what just happened? And that was only like, it was so short. I was like, you could have given me minutes of that.
Yeah.
Like I was so like, I went back, I rewound it and I watched it again because I just wanted to see it again. I was so taken by it. Like, I loved that. That's because they'd spoken about singing to the stones. You didn't know what it was going to be. And then that was it. And I was like, right, that is a proper top moment so far. I'm really into that.
Yeah, because it's like when you said about they speak to the rock and the rock will tell them whether to dig or like go there or avoid there. Or and then when she was singing and it started like vibrating and metal started, it was great. It kind of gives you an insight into how they are doing what they're doing so well, because they're not just going in there and smashing a mine in. They're listening to the rock. The rock's telling them where to go and like how to tunnel through it. So it's a great way to see dwarf culture get laid out in that way.
Yeah, given a bit more like sense to their like powers, like what they can do. They're not just little people who've got hammers. You know, like, I like that. Yeah, showing a bit more of this.
Yeah, well, it was also the way that those, like, what would you call them? Like, crumbs of rock? Like, definitely the wrong word. But that what do I mean?
Yeah, I do know what you mean. Yeah. Crumbs of rock. Yeah.
Rocklets.
Little tiny, little tiny bits of rock. That's mirroring the credits, isn't it? And shout out to the credits as well. That same reverberation of sound and bits lifting is I like. Mm. Also, to hop back slightly, that bit where Durin makes Elrond like swear on the mountain.
I think
clearly what's going to happen there is Celebrimbor's going to like get it out of Elrond. And Elrond's going to have this big kind of moment of like, I should, because that's my people, that's the elves, like I'm involved in this project, but I shouldn't because Durin's my friend and I've sworn. But I think he'll get it out of him, won't he? Because Celebrimbor is clearly so like driven to outdo what his dad did. He's gonna get that secret out of Elrond somehow. And also, I think that when he let him have that little chunk of Mithril, I think Celebrimbor will use that to make the ring.
Oh, cool.
Galadriel's ring. He'll either nick it or he'll just get given it, and like that'll be the first bit that he uses.
Am I imagining? I thought Celebrimbor had that and was looking at the Mithril himself. Was that? The previous. The next episode, maybe. I don't know.
Oh, maybe.
If it is, then everyone's a dirty, dirty liar.
Yeah.
Oathbreaker. Galadriel and Miriel having like a bit of a to do. Galadriel getting thrown in prison.
Yep.
Then escaping prison, walking around. Do you like Halbrand's giving her advice on how to talk to people and how to get most out of people? What the fuck do you know that fucking 8,000-year-old fucking elf does? Like, why have they made her so stupid? I don't understand why they've made her so green. Do you know what I mean? Is that annoying anyone else?
It's just that's not annoying me. Like, it's not annoying me that she's like rubbish. Like, got like just a rubbish personality. That's not annoying me. That's fine. Like, that she's rude and like, you know, she's brash. Like, that would be fine. The bit that I'm just like, why is Halbrand being this sage of this is how you're so, like, that's the bit that's annoying me. Just let her be like that and make her own mistakes. Stop letting this dude who is like just made up be there to tell Galadriel how to person. That's the bit I don't like.
Yeah. Yeah, because he's kind of every step of the way she's been a Numenor, he's like, whoa, easy girl. But
he's doing my head in.
He's never met one, probably. From the Southlands. I don't know. But anyway, she breaks out of prison. She takes on like 3 guards in 0.5 seconds. And then Ar-Pharazôn shits himself and is like, oh. Like,
she sort of like throws them all into a jail cell at the same time. Doesn't make any sense, that bit. It's so stupid.
Like, you think?
Yeah, that bit makes zero sense, because also, like, they're the jailers, so one of them would just have a key on them. It didn't make any sense. But also, they just don't need to tell us how good Galadriel is. Like in that moment, like she could have just like punched one of them, run away, and got away. Like and didn't need to like then and now you're in prison. It's a bit Zorro for me. Like I didn't really like that. Like they could have, and also she could have just. I would have been fine of her just being like, I need to go and talk to Tamriel now. I need to go up there and speak to her right now, and then just go in. Yeah. All right, we'll just take you there then.
Yeah,
and then her getting there and having what was actually like quite a good conversation with Tamriel about everything that was going on. But there was just, you don't need to do this bit of her proving like that she's like this warrior. Like we get it. Like it's fine.
We get it. Yeah, we've seen her kill a fucking ice troll by herself, basically.
Those guards must be so gutted. They're like, oh, fucking hell.
They're fired, mate. They're all
fired. How long did you train for? 5 years. Right. Yeah. I reckon they were probably the same blokes that Isildur got kicked off the boat earlier. Yeah. And they just tried a new profession straight away. Like, oh, shit at this as well.
And Alfaro's on how he's like, oh. It's like, come on.
It was dreadful. It's a contender for the worst scene so far, the whole show. Without a doubt.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Because my knowledge should be Farazon was like a fucking badass, kind of.
Could they not just... This might have been a bit, like, I don't quite know how this would have played out either, but could Tamriel just not have gone and seen her in prison?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's another way to do that. You know what I mean? Well, I know that...
Well,
I know that
she would have had Lolly Halbrand chirping on in the background, telling her every next thing to say.
Yeah, but she put him in prison as well. She could have gone and seen them both and been like, look, sort it out, please. Like, you know, this is Numenor. Like, I know they would have then had to do another bit to get her to the Palantir. But, like, you're right. It was just like what is this? I don't know. It was just not good.
Yeah, there could have been so many different ways. But anyway, she does escape prison. She goes and sees Tamriel and Tar Palantir, as we're assuming that is, in bed. Yeah. And looks in the Palantir, or Palantiri, as she says. Mm-hmm. Not the first one she's looked through.
Yeah.
And sees basically exactly the same as what Tamriel
has. Has anyone ever seen anything good in a Palantiri? Like, touch it. I don't want to touch it. I know what happens when you touch Palantiri. I'm not going to touch it.
Yeah.
Don't touch it. Go on, touch it.
I think Denethor used it to perv on women, but apart from that. Did he?
Mike, no. Correct me if I'm wrong here, right? But isn't it a bit... There was a bit of a break from the law, which I don't know if it's a bit of a red herring, but I believe she said all of these have been lost and this is the last one.
Well, we know there was one on Numenor. So what the ones that accounted for, Sauron we know has one. We know Saruman has one in Orthanc. And I believe the one that's in that Palantir is the one that Elendil takes over to Gondor.
I thought they took more than one, though. I thought they took, like... five or something, and then they kept them in the different towers that they build around Middle Earth.
I thought there was more. I thought there's some in. I'm not sure about the first age though, because I know there's two towers, and I believe one of them is probably in the Grey Havens kind of realm.
That's what their actual use is to communicate.
Yeah,
like, over long distances, rather than like just see horrible visions anytime you look in them.
I mean, we could look it up, but...
We could, can we?
Yeah.
There's no way of knowing. There is absolutely no way.
We'll never know.
I like the effect, how it sort of cracked inside it and then it came out into the screen.
Yeah.
Quite cool. That was cool, yeah. Is there... Because, you know, there's two versions of what I'm about to ask. Mm. They never actually said Tar Palantir, did they? The whole way through.
No.
Tamriel just called him my father.
Yeah.
When Galadriel saw him, she was just saying like, "Your Majesty" or whatever. I don't know if anybody watched it with the subtitles on, but whenever he like made a few little murmurings or whatever, it had Tar Palantir as his name. So I don't know if, because this goes back to like the rights and what they have and what they can say and what they can't. I don't know, like that would be really weird if they can have Tar Palantir in the subtitles but can't say it in the script. Well, the only other thing I thought is, would it be confusing if there was an old dying bloke there called Tar Palantir and they were touching a Palantir, really? Like,
yeah,
maybe they did it to just avoid any weird confusion. So I don't know. Like, it's a really minor point, but I might look into it. Because we would just assume to assume he is Tar Palantir.
I'd be interested to see go back and watch the first episode, see if Finrod was called Finrod.
Yeah,
In the subtitles.
Because it won't. Because if you push on Amazon, if you like pause it, it gives you like a little list of who's in the scene, doesn't it?
Trivia.
All right. So okay, we can move on from that, I think, because then kind of Tarmiriel kind of says, "Look, you're going back to Middle Earth. Just stop fucking around now. Like, you're going back. You've caused enough hassle. Just get out of here." And then she kind of lets her set sail, and then leaves start falling off the tree, and she takes it as a sign from the gods, I'm guessing, that, and I think Elendil thinks it too, that, no, the gods aren't happy with what we're doing here. We need to help her out. Because I think that is that's what she's perceiving, any leaves falling off that tree, is the gods speaking to her directly.
Yeah.
Kind of. So, and then Galadriel gets everything she wants, basically.
Yeah, it's too easy, all of that.
That was very easy story arc, really, wasn't it? Like, you come on an island, you make shitload of mischief, headache for everyone. The mate you're with fucking nearly kills 5 blokes. You get put in prison, you escape. You get put in prison again, get escaped again. And then you leave with an army ready made for you to go and fight a war that they don't know anything of.
Mm.
But I think they could have done that better. I think they should have had Tar Palantir still kind of friendly with Gil-galad at this point. And then had the Numenorians go over and help out a fear of Sauron. And then everything's then, after heavy losses, then the island starts going hating elves playing there. I don't know, they could have done it a bit differently. Maybe give us more of a reason for...
Well, I undernard a little bit about the sort of I'm Spartacus bit, you know, at the end. I was a little bit like, oh, it's a bit cheap. But I think they're trying to maybe show that there are some people on Numenor that care about the outside world and what's going on, and there's others that are, you know, very Numenor centric and don't care, and they're just trying to make that definition maybe in a bit too much of a rushed way. But I was like, just after thinking about it, because I wasn't sure if I liked it, I was like, do you know what, like, I'm cool with that. Like, that's okay.
Yeah That's the argument for it, definitely.
Every good fantasy needs an I Am Spartacus like scene.
So what will happen now? Presumably, like, the setup here is, Pharazôn will remain behind and will kind of rule in Tarmiriel's stead, and Halbrand, we assume, you know, the closest thing at the moment that we can guess to being Sauron, will start to chirp in his ear.
I think Halbrand's going with him. I think there's from even the picture in the background, it's them two riding a horse side, but unless that's
a
Valyrian or something like that. Just
100%, there's going to be a scene where she's on the boat looking out, and then there's going to be, "Whoa, what are you looking out there for, girl?" And turn around and be like, he's back. And he'll be like, "Well, what would you do out there without me?" Like, He'll be there.
I think he'll stick around, and I think he'll start to influence Pharazôn. And Pharazôn is, and this is how the divide begins.
So you're putting all your money on Halbrand being Sauron, then? That's what you're saying. Paying down all your chips.
Yeah. Ultimately, no. But I think they will continue to push this: is he Sauron? Mm-hmm. And they'll do that by making him get a little bit closer to Pharazôn while Tarmiriel's away.
Yeah.
And then,
do you think he'll stay and maybe like actually get into the smithing guild?
Yeah, then? He'll be in the guild. Yeah, he'll encounter him in one of his speeches. I think that's what will happen. Like, there's a very quick.
Imagine how many free drinks are going to be given out when Farazad takes the helm.
Oh, God.
Get everyone
pissed.
Get
everyone pissed.
Everyone's got wristbands. Like. Yeah, but we'll see. I thought there was a very quick shot of Halbrand kind of looking quite like, this is so finally I get to see Numenor. I swear there was like a 2-second shot of him doing that just as the boats were leaving.
But also, what are the laws on Numenor? So he's just out of prison.
Yeah,
like, he's still in prison, I think.
He's out.
What's the law? Well, come on, like no. Do you know what? Gladiol was all right. Maybe he didn't really break that guy's arm that I definitely saw. Get him out.
Yeah, he's going to have to look their family members in the eye in the street.
Yeah.
Like, you're asking, does Halbrand have a criminal record now?
Yeah.
Is he on tag? Is that what you're asking me?
Yeah. Maybe that'll be his route in. Like, he has to go and do some free sort of
community. Yeah, he has to. Right. Farazad's his probation officer.
Around the forge and then just accidentally, like, knocks up a good sword. Oh, all right. You get involved.
But he said he was good at it. He's not lying.
No.
Yeah, but it'll be like what's the Matt Damon Ben Affleck film?
Good Hunting.
It's, instead of Mass Equations, it'll be
craft done swords.
Like, who's doing this overnight? Who's coming in and finishing up all these bishops? I can't believe it.
Bishops. I reckon I could have a good crack at a fish hook.
Surprise.
Yeah, so that is it, basically. So you just got to look forward to next week's.
Yeah. Okay.
Any predictions about what we're going to see?
Well, they'll get back to... We'll need to check in on the Harfoots and the Stranger, won't we? Which I'm very looking... I'm really looking forward to. It was a shame not to see them. So we'll get back there. It seems like Durin is off to Lindon, isn't he, with Elrond? So we'll see how that goes. The Watchtower and all the Southlanders that are there, they'll start to, like, as you say, like, get quite Helm's Deepy and make sure that that's all fortified and stuff. Mm. Is there anything else going on?
I want to see, this is my what I want to see for next episode. I want to see them priestesses or whatever, them people in white with the short long hair. I want to see what they've got to say for themselves. What's going on with them? I thought we'd have seen them by now, so...
Yeah.
That's what I want to see next. Yeah. I want the
one thing we skipped over that I just really want to quickly get you guys' opinion on. You know when Theo and the old guy who gave him the hilt, he made reference to the meteor, didn't he? He went, "Did you see it in the sky? It's a sign."
Yeah.
Do you think that's a red herring, or do you think?
Yeah. I think so. I have seen a theory though that there's maybe two. Because of who's seen it and where it landed, someone said there may have been two that come out of there. But so we'll see. But I don't know.
If it is a blue wizard, you know, which we keep sort of coming back to, it's still a sign that Sauron's back because there's been a response from good. You know, like it's still a sign.
But so that's it. So unless there's anything else anyone else wants to say.
No, I don't think so. I mean, we're getting into it now. Is it 8 episodes? Are we halfway through?
Yep, we're at 4. We're at 5 next.
Okay. So, yeah, let's see what the second half of the season holds for us. We'll wrap things up there, shall we?
Yeah.
So, yes, thank you so much, everyone, for watching. Thank you so much for listening. As always, if you can get involved in any social media that we do, we're everywhere, aren't we? We're on Reddit, we're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, we're on we're everywhere.
Email.
Where's that?
It'd be nice to get one email.
It would be lovely to get an email. Yeah.
Email us.
We can't, our email address is so shit, we can't even remember it now to tell you what it is.
Yeah, what is it? That's the biggest mystery of the whole series.
Mouth of Sauron pod.
No, dot
pod. Dot pod. Dot pod. if you are, you know, just like us wherever you can, it will help us with the algorithms.
Yeah. Like and subscribe. And comment.
Yeah.
Leave a comment, like, subscribe, interact with us, ask us questions, you know, get involved.
Yeah.
That's it. Just get behind everything we're doing. We really appreciate all the support. So until next time, we will leave it there. Cheers, everybody.
Cheers. Bye-bye. Mouth is the mouth of Sauron. Come get your rings of power.